I'm going to speak for a few minutes, not just to the boys, but to everyone who's gathered here tonight about my own experience of Boys Brigade. And then I just want to speak about one of those characters in one of the Bible readings tonight. This is not a very exciting slide. I was thinking of some of my own experience of the BB. You see the black book on the left? That's a church hymn book. I was given that in Suffolk Robins. That's what the Anchor Boys used to be called, the Robins. And I was given that in 1971, when I was six. So whenever I was just 6 years of age, the BB, the lady wrote inside my name and the year, and Suffolk Robins, and I learned at the age of six about how important it is to praise God. And I was given that church hymn book. The book on the right, if you could say the book, the black book is when I started BB. The book on the right, the blue one, is a Bible. And I was given that when I left the Boys Brigade when I was 18. And we have moved house about six times over the years we have been married. And I've always made sure I've taken with me my old church hymn book and my Bible that I was given when I was in the Robins. Funny story from the Robins. When I was in the Robins, we had to do for display 1 year box work. You know the wooden box? But we had to do it at your size when we're small, but not the big box. We had to do a very small box. But to me, it was huge, and I couldn't do it. I wasn't very athletic when I was a child. So my granda, we had a poofy in our living room. And for weeks coming up to the display, my granda had me running across the floor and jumping the poofy in the living room so that I could get ready for the display. And I've always remembered doing that, or at least my family have reminded me about having to do that. So the BB is very important to me from my earliest days. Here's the next picture. This is from when I was in the junior section, and I was a leading boy or a squad leader when I was in the Boys Brigade, and that's what it was called in those days. And I remember we had to do badges in those days, and we went one morning to Miss Hutchinson's flat in Dunmurry. And Miss Hutchinson taught us how to fry eggs and bacon. And that was for a badge. I don't know, do you still have to fry bacon and eggs in order to earn a badge? But that was a good memory of my junior section days. And as I say, I learned to be a leader. Don't know if I was a good leader or not, but I was given a badge and told I was a leader. And I had to look after the other boys who were in my squad. Here's the next one. You can't really see much in this. This is my company, but I'm not in this photograph. This is before I think I was born, maybe about 10 years before I was born. This is the boys going away for a camp. They're on a boat. The photograph's maybe not so great, but the real thing, they're in a boat, maybe going to the Isle of Man. And on the top right of the photograph, there's a man there. He's a Scottish man, and George Armstrong was the captain of our company in Belfast, the 84th Belfast. And George was at church every Sunday. He sat in front of us. He was there week in and week out. He was a great example as an officer in the company. And he wasn't a scary officer, but he was a firm officer. If you didn't go to BB Bible class, and the BB Bible class in our church was on a Sunday morning, before church, if you didn't go to BB Bible class on a Sunday morning, you didn't get to play football the next Saturday afternoon. And it didn't matter if you were Ronaldo or if you were Raheem Sterling, you didn't get playing if you hadn't gone to Bible class the previous Sunday morning. And that's the way our company was. But it was great to grow up in that. And then when I was assistant minister, I was in Coleraine. I was assistant in Terrace Row in Coleraine. And the Boys Brigade Company there was 5th Coleraine. And I went and did my officer training. Do you want to see me wear an officer's hat? Okay. Does it suit me? Yeah. Can you salute? Can you do a salute? Yeah. And we had some great times in Coleraine. We went and camped 2 years. We went to Newcastle upon Tyne. We went round St. James's Stadium where Newcastle play. And then we went to London and we drove the minibuses around London and we went to the old Wembley Stadium. and we took the boys into the Houses of Parliament for a tour. The rule was in the Houses of Parliament, if you were on a tour, you weren't allowed to sit on the benches. You know the green benches the MPs sit on? You're not allowed to sit on those. Well, we were standing getting the talk about the Houses of Parliament, and I turned round, and the biggest messer in our company was a guy called Paddy. And what do you think Paddy was doing? Yes? He wasn't just sitting on a bench, he was sitting on the Prime Minister's bench. And Paddy, as I say, was a messer. And Paddy, I just heard recently, is now an officer in the CMBB. So sometimes the biggest messers are maybe the ones who are listening the most. But tonight we're going to think about a question that was in the reading that Jamie read earlier on. Well, Mark read the passage, how can a young man keep his way pure? How can a young man keep his way pure? God is interested in young men. That was in the psalm we heard earlier. But I want to talk about the man that Jamie's reading in Matthew chapter 19 was about. The young man who I'm going to say turned his back on God. Mark chapter 19. Let me say just Matthew chapter 19. And this is found in Matthew's gospel, Mark's gospel, and Luke's gospel three times as if God is saying, don't miss this. This is important. Three times it's in the Bible. Let me just say a few things about him. He was young. We don't know how young he was, but we're told he was young. He wasn't a boy, but he wasn't an old man either. He was young. He was wealthy, and we're told he had great wealth. He was religious in some sense. He was a ruler. Maybe he was a local councillor in the local government, or maybe he was he worked in the church. He was maybe a young elder in the church. We don't know. If there'd been a BB, I'd say he'd have been in the BB. And the other thing about him that we're told was that Jesus loved him. We're told that in Mark's gospel. So he's got a lot going for him. He's young, he's wealthy, he's righteous or religious, and Jesus loved him. But he had a question. He had a question, and the question's coming up next on the screen. And he came to Jesus one day and he asked this question. He said, "Teacher, what must I do to get eternal life?" That tells me a whole lot of things. It tells me while he was young, and he was rich, and he was powerful, he was thinking, and he wasn't sure about what would happen to him after he died. And so he says to Jesus, "What must I do to get eternal life?" That's a good question to ask. I don't know if you've ever asked yourselves that question. If I was to die tonight, where would I go? Heaven. I hope it is heaven. We all want to go to heaven, but Jesus spoke about hell. So what must I do to get eternal life? It tells me as well he knew there was an eternal life, but he didn't know whether he had it yet. It tells me he wasn't sure. There were doubts in his mind. He didn't want to go to the place called hell that Jesus had talked about. So how could he get eternal life? And for answering those sorts of questions, the only person to go to is Jesus Christ, the greatest teacher the world has ever known. When Jesus speaks, God speaks. So he goes to Jesus and he says, What good thing must I do to get eternal life?" This is the first thing Jesus said to him by way of an answer. It's the young man who turned his back on God. I'll explain that in a minute. The first thing Jesus said, you need to learn, is that only God is good. Only God is good. I guess he reckoned himself as a good boy, living a good life. Certainly when Jesus listed the Ten Commandments, some of the commandments to him, do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not give false testimony, honor your father and mother, love your neighbor as yourself. He said, "Yeah, I've done all those." In other words, I'm a good boy. I live a good life. And the Ten Commandments are good. It would be great to live in a world where there was no murder, no marriage breakups, no stealing, no lying, always respect for parents, and always looking out for your neighbor. That would be a brilliant world to live in. And that's the world God made. God saw all that he had made, says Genesis 1, and it was very good. A good world can only come from a good God. So what's wrong with the world? The young man needed, first of all, to learn that only God is good. And in all the universe, there's only one truly good being, and that is God. And he needed to learn that. Only God is good. The second thing he needed to learn was that sin is turning your back on God. Jesus answered him, "If you want to be perfect, go sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." When the young man heard this, he went away sad because he had great wealth. Wonder if you've ever been told, boys, adults, ever been told not to do something and you've done it? Your dinner's nearly ready, your mommy says. You're not allowed any Easter eggs. Maybe you haven't opened your Easter eggs yet. In our house, we've opened our Easter eggs. Well, your dinner's nearly ready. Don't be eating any Easter eggs. And you've gone ahead and you've eaten the Easter eggs. Or you're told not to bully someone at school, but you can't resist because that person is so annoying. You're told not to watch maybe that video or that YouTube channel, but will these things make your heart beat a little bit faster? Why do you do things that you are told not to do? Well, because of sin. God made a good world, but sin came into the world, and we can't stop ourselves losing our temper, being hurtful, fighting with our parents, telling lies, lusting after other people's bodies, things that make you feel bad and make you feel ashamed. And here Jesus says to this young man, if you want to be perfect, go sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me. But he turns away, sad, because he had great wealth. And yet a few minutes before, he had been coming to Jesus and he was saying, aren't I a good boy? Haven't I done so much good? Haven't I kept the commandments? Tick, 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 tick. I've kept them all. And yet here is Jesus Christ giving him a command. If you want to be perfect, go sell your possessions and give to the poor. And he says to Jesus, no, no. Sin is saying no to God. Sin is turning your back on God. And this young man turned his back on God. And he went away sad because money was his God. Maybe for you it's something else. But his money was what was controlling his life. His money was what mattered to him more than Jesus Christ. And whatever matters to you or me more than Jesus Christ is sin. He had sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and he had gone his own way to do what he saw fit. And the last thing this young man who turned his back on God needed to learn was that eternal life. You remember the question, how can I get eternal life? Well, Jesus said to him, eternal life is the gift of God. Any of you boys good at computers? Hands up if you're good at computers. Some of you are good at computers. Must admit, I'm not very good at computers. And I can get stuck. I can use them up to a point, but sometimes there's things I can't do and I get frustrated. But what I do is I phone my son. Or if he's home, I'll say to him, can you show me how to do this? And he comes in and he helps me, and whatever's hassling me, he is able to sort out. And that's what Jesus is saying to this young man about the way to be saved. You can't save yourself. You can't work it out yourself. You can't escape sin yourself. You can't control your lusts, your desires, your urges, your temper, your jealousy, your tongue, your greed. You can't get eternal life on your own. But God is good and kind and merciful, and he gives the gift of eternal life. And this young man is learning that at a human level, to get eternal life, it's impossible, but with God, all things are possible. So how do you get it? Nearly finished. When I was in the boys' brigade in the company section, we used to do what was called ladder work. And what we did was we had an aluminium ladder, And one of the things was we brought the ladder out in the display, and you set the ladder on the ground straight up in the air. And about 10 of the older boys gathered around the base of the ladder, and they held on to the ladder, and they held on to each other, and they formed like a rugby scrum, I suppose, around the base of the ladder. You wouldn't be allowed to do this nowadays. It wouldn't pass health and safety and risk assessment. The smallest boy in the company then climbed to the top of the ladder. And when he got to the top of the ladder, he then had to stand with his, you think, one leg on either side of the ladder and with his arms out wide. And then that was kind of the finale, and that was the thing that got the applause. I'll tell you this, the boy who climbed to the top of that ladder, I never did it. The boy who climbed to the top of that ladder had to have faith in the boys at the bottom. That they wouldn't just say, "Ugh, just leave them up there and just walk away." That they wouldn't just let go of each other or let go of the ladder. They had to have faith. The little boy had to have faith that his friends at the bottom would keep holding on. And you see, when Jesus said to this young man, "Sell everything, give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven," Jesus was saying to this man, "Put your faith in me." Not 50%, not 80%, not 95 or 99%, 100% put your faith in me. Believe that I will supply all your needs. Believe that I will forgive all your sins. Believe that I will give you the gift of eternal life. Boys, as I finish, it's good to be in the BB, and it's good to be an officer in the BB, and many folk here will testify to that. But it won't bring you eternal life. This young man, even Jesus loved him, but he hadn't yet got eternal life, or he wouldn't have been asking the question. Instead of turning his back on Jesus, he ought to have turned to Jesus, because only Jesus can give you eternal life. It comes from him. It is the gift of God. You have to look to him for it and ask him for it. By yourself, it's impossible. But with God, all things are possible. This is the last slide. The young man who turned his back on God. You know, the Bible never tells us, did he come back? The Bible just tells us he went away sad. He never, I don't think, did come back. If he didn't come back, he didn't get eternal life. If he did come back, he got it. But we're not told. I wonder tonight, what about you? Have you got eternal life? You must come to Jesus for it. Put your faith into Jesus for eternal life. For that's the only way any of us can receive the gift that only God can give. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the Boys Brigade. We thank you for the Bible class. Classes that go on week by week. And we thank you, Father, for this young man who came to Jesus, and the young man we read about in the Old Testament who asked, how can a young man keep his way pure and true? And we thank you here that we learn tonight that only you are true, and only you are good, and only you are pure. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that the gift of eternal life comes when we trust in Jesus, and we find him as our Lord and as our Savior. Father, we thank you for the years this message has gone out through the Boys Brigade Bible class. We thank you, Father, that we have the Bible as part of our work and as part of our witness. And we pray, Father, that many of the young men in our company today, Lord, and many others with them, would find the gift of eternal life that is the gift of God. Continue with us, Lord, we pray in this service. And Father, we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.